Foxing Society by Mugita Sokio, read by the author. This was a novel that was written for the 2025 Fediverse Writing Month Challenge, in which no artificial intelligence was used. Chapter 1. Turning the Tides on Corruption. It has been said that anyone, almost anybody in this world, has been corrupted by one particular organization, one that was such a farce, nobody believed them until false flags left and right were performed for one reason and one reason only: to perform ecumenical rituals designed to get people simping for these people who had no friends. This was what Half-Fox Todd Kichido Katsumi always stayed away from like a sore thumb. Knowing the consequences of joining such a religious force that was seemingly unstoppable. However, as the days turned to months, months to years, he always stuck to his word, making it to where he had no fear in facing whatever was coming next for him. That was until Katsumi decided to take a stroll around his homestead, as he normally did every day. During this stroll, however, he noticed something odd left on the ground. When he picked it up, he observed that it was nothing more than a reliquary of some kind. He just put it in its satchel and kept walking. As he kept walking, as per the usual, he found numerous items along the way, all with a strange theme surrounding them. He never really picked up this many items to begin with, especially now that this religious organization he had ignored for years clearly caught up to him and found his homestead. So he thought. As he returned to the homestead after his stroll around the Jonavit, he entered into his workshop, opened the satchel, and poured out the items onto the desk he built himself. After some light inspection of the items he procured, he realized that the same symbol was on them, a broken cross with what looked to be a phallic object at the tip top of the cross. Katsumi found this odd, as that happened to have been the symbol this group had used ever since its foundation over 30 years ago. Katsumi, meanwhile, was only 5 and 20 years of age, and he ignored all of it to focus on homesteading, living off the land, and crafting musical instruments for a professional career. This was since he was likely 17 or 18 years of age. Shamisen, biwa, koto, junangen, wagon, daikin, shakuhachi. For any instrument coming from a traditional fox background, that was what he made himself, and out of the fruit of the land he lived off of. Looking back at these reliquaries of this religious group, there was some sort of engraving on them with some strange letters he would not recognize. As he looked into his library, near the desk he was sitting at, he found a book on his shelf that had these strange letters. He would start finding the alphabet that fit these strange glyphs, and would start to piece this entire thing together. After deducing this bizarre cipher, this read, "For many shall reject us, for they believe we are terrorists. We are peacemakers, but we cannot say that, lest death be upon us." Terrorism? Katsumi was puzzled by this particular admission in all of these unholy items. Was this why he ignored the group for so long, and the reason he was picking up these blasphemous ornaments in the first place? Was he being recruited to the group without realizing it? Katsumi breathed a deep sigh of frustration before picking up the unholy reliquaries in his eyes and walking over to his furnace to melt them. As he put the items in, he positioned them in such a way that anyone spying on him would see that he was no pushover. After igniting a flame, Katsumi watched as he melted these unholy symbols he encountered during his daily walk around the perimeter of his homestead. He would mumble to himself, saying, "For there shall be nothing I shall do to compromise my sanity, purity, and dignity, all for money, fame, and power." His eyes were bloodshot as he watched the last of the supposedly set-apart items melt to its fullest capacity. Once they were melted to completion, Katsumi turned off the furnace, grabbed his katana, and went outside to practice self-defense with kendo. which was what trained everyone to use a katana in the first place. Now, Kazumi owned a number of different weapons, from katana to tachi, chokuto, wazikashi, tanto, naginata, sasumata, sai, yawada, ono, bo, jo, yari, and even yumi. He trained with all of the main weapon types and found these to fit his brand of self-defense. It was nothing more than something to do for exercise, but also designed for him to defend himself whenever he had to. This was despite the fact that Kazumi was also proficient in unarmed combat, such as learning many traditional martial arts dating back centuries. As was tradition for Kazumi, he had also been through many, many rituals, most of them horrible for fox folk such as himself, let alone half-fox people. Nowadays, he observed that they might have been very similar, if not exact, to what he had read about the group that he ignored for so long. As was the usual case, Kazumi just got his mind off of it by tending to his gardens, which he normally did after some indoor work. He had two farms of sorts, one for his regular garden, flowers, trees, shrubs, and things he would not harvest, and a crop farm for food he grew and or raised himself. He always tended to them as if he were to lose them, because most of the time, this would easily happen if he were not very careful about it. He stuck to his promise of a small property until he could get things straightened out, and he would expand on that once he was properly prepared. Each garden took around an hour to 90 minutes to maintain each time, which was not too bad for Kazumi. He used to spend about 2.5 hours each before finding ways to make it efficient enough to where quality was not destroyed, even by a slight percentage, to do it when tested. After Kazumi finished his garden maintenance, he would then walk over to his instrument shop and work on the instrument in all stages of production. This was so he would sell them in order to make enough money. That would be done to take care of the homestead. Some of the money he made from selling musical instruments went into precious metals and other hard assets that appreciated over time. Despite his enormous wealth as a result of this, he would always live a frugal life, with good quality items that were not too expensive. That was how Kazumi lived since he was 16 years of age, when he was old enough to leave the village he was raised in. Katami's instruments were nothing more than the best quality from the materials he used. He would do almost anything to naturally fortify them, so as to avoid easy breakage, even purchase things from suppliers he personally got to know. Sometimes, he even went as far as to purchase some things to test them, and let the supplier know if there were any issues in his rigorous testing. Of which, he would perform regular testing to ensure the highest quality instruments, despite the materials for some of them being maybe not the best, but with him working with what he had. After around 8 hours of this, Kazumi would finish his work for the day and walk back into his tiny home. It had everything he needed to live comfortably without the need for anything he did not need, nor things of almost little to zero value. That was just how he operated, as he taught himself to do this over about half a decade since he was 19 years of age. Even though he was supposed to be broke, he was not, for his way of living was compatible with someone who was wealthy. This was especially done since his early 20s or so, when he started to accumulate hard assets at exactly 20 years of age. As he relaxed his tired bones from all his work for the day, he looked at his calendar, which was a mix of an Algerian calendar and the calendar that was used in the area he resided. He sighed when he realized that the next day was the 15th of an Algerian calendar month, meaning he had no work to do that day. He always rested on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th days of an Algerian calendar month, though it did not exactly fit what his village did, which was every 7th day. This was done there, no matter what day of the week the new celestial moon fell upon. Speaking of, as Kazumi started testing this theory of observing the moon and its phases, he found it to be much easier for him to determine his days of rest than what turned out to be calculated days of rest. As such, people would brush off his theory as a disproven fraud, even though they would never do it themselves, for they stuck to traditions that Kazumi found to be completely out of line with natural law. He could prove almost anything given enough time, evidence, and testing on his end. Most people would harden their hearts and not listen to him, because they would know that that he would be undoing the programming of these traditionalist values, clearly being completely incompatible with his way of thinking. Especially since he had a different thought process than almost anyone, as he had a condition that made him think literally, more than think dynamically. He was since unable to think in a dynamic mindset since he was 2 years of age, due to having been poisoned by his own kind. For it was a sad day for many when they found out that this literal mindset was how Katami survived. Nobody wanted him to think literally, but he was supposed to do so. Granted, he always wanted to think dynamically in some instances, which he found was not such a bad idea after all, as he would want gray area that he could research while he was not too busy. As Katami went ahead and relaxed after this entire day, he would do the same all over again. He had done this for a long time, though it was nothing special for him. It was the same monotonous, boring, but fulfilling work he was called to do for a long time, especially since anybody who wanted to challenge him to leave the area would be sorely mistaken. For him, however, that was just how Katami lived his life. One day came about when Katami woke up, as per his usual time, got dressed in his kimono, and walked out the door. Something caught his attention with what looked to be an envelope of some sort. He brought it inside to his workshop, opened it discreetly, just in case he was being surveilled, and read it. The letter would read the following. To the most esteemed Half-Fox Todd in Wesneth, I am very understanding of your desire to be private and off the King's espionage, especially against the Toramach Brotherhood, whom you most certainly have the right to ignore. I must warn you, however, that I have found many secrets that I might be killed for if I be found, for I have defected from the group entirely, being due to what I noticed, and likely what you observed. Everything you thought was odd about our cult, I can confirm that to be so, for it was a long time since I have found anyone willing to listen to my cry for help. And, if it be so, I would like to discuss this with you on the grounds of an urgent cry for help. I am about to be murdered, bringing the secrets of the Toramach to light, and then the grave. Best wishes. Katami was confused by this. It was the first time someone allegedly from the terrorist group he was meant to ignore suddenly reached out to him like this, asking if he would be okay discussing everything. Katami just set it aside and went to go do his usual routine. Despite his brain being wired differently, he did not have a set routine, though he had some major parts of his day that he had stuck to in his mind for years. That was just him and how he personally worked with the land. In his case, he decided to just breathe, relax, and carry on with his usual daily happenings. At the day's end, he would go ahead and write a letter back to the individual, who wished to remain anonymous due to his potential to be murdered. After some time in thinking up how to respond, and with a shaky hand, Katami finally had this to write. To whom it may concern, I understand that this may be sudden. However, I cannot trust someone who claims to have defected from the Toramach, as this could be another trick to have me join the Brotherhood without realizing. I had melted some Toramach memorabilia and paraphernalia that I had found during my daily walk around my homestead in my furnace, for I had no desire to be affiliated with them. I have met some former Toramach who still kept their beliefs even years after they bowed out gracefully from the Brotherhood, and I am afraid you might be another one who did the exact same. For this reason, I cannot accept it for now. If I run into you and you present the proof to me, then I might be able to talk. As of right now, I would like to stay cautious on this matter, as I could also be murdered for the same reason you might be, being that I am not willing to join the Toramach, even if required. I am skeptical of these claims you make, as you might be still in the Brotherhood attempting to recruit me, knowing that joining the Brotherhood has been mandated for 3.5 years. I cannot accept it as of right now. Best wishes, Kichiro Katami. Katami sighed after finishing the response letter he wrote to the individual. He knew that many former Toramach would still carry on the beliefs and traditions of the group, because this was a mandate from the most corrupt king in Wesneth's history, Artoriad XII, who came from a long line of kings. Artoriad would span back to Artoriad the First, who founded Wesneth in the first place. After Katsumi rolled up the letter and sealed it in a cylindrical envelope, he would walk to the village closest to him. This was a village with traditional aesthetics, meaning that the people were stuck as they were taught in their childhoods. As Katsumi would enter the mailing office to send his letter over to the individual, he felt a hug from behind so tight it almost caused his obi to undo itself. He turned around, and there was a young maiden with fox ears, white hair, a kimono of her own, and even sapphire eyes. She trembled as she hugged Katsumi, so he stepped aside to comfort this trembling maiden. The young fox maiden looked up at Katsumi, and he just rubbed her back.
I cannot thank you enough, Katsumi.
Her voice was trembling with emotion, as her fear overwhelmed her greatly. It looked to have taken its hold for a while, as well, judging by how red her eyes were. She cupped his cheek and asked him,
Were you going to send that letter in your hand?
Yea, I was just about to do that.
Katsumi sighed and pulled this young maiden closer to him.
Did you have some affinity with this individual?
I recommended he send a letter to you.
Katsumi was confused as she spoke. She continued,
My brother recently escaped the iron grip of the Toramak Brotherhood, as he realized why it was a requirement in the first place.
Katsumi froze. This singular young fox maiden was the one who suggested that Katsumi be written to, knowing his unwavering disdain for the Toramak Brotherhood. He looked down at the young fox maiden, asking her,
How high was your brother in the Brotherhood?
To which the young maiden revealed,
He was the right-hand man of the superior prophet, Maristoma, himself the right-hand man to King Artoriad.
Katsumi was now mortified by this revelation. The maiden observed this and asked him,
Is anything wrong?
Katsumi just looked down into her eyes and told her,
That was why he was afraid of being murdered.
He took a deep breath, calmed his heart rate, and looked into her eyes again.
So the letter was legitimate, and not a recruitment letter, as I had always received.
The young maiden shook her head, saying,
It is not, Katsumi. I am very glad you defected from Roquad when you did, as I followed you out of there.
She looked up at him, tears welling up in her eyes.
I wanted to be in like a character as you for a long time. I have heard your story many, many times on how you escaped Roquad Village at 16 to pursue what you always dreamed of as a child. I was the same age when I stealthily removed myself from the village, knowing how corrupt it seemed, for your departure was all I needed to know.
Katsumi stopped her right there and asked her,
Since when did I see you in Roquad Village?
I never even heard of you in the first place. He was confused as to why a shy, trembling fox girl was willing to do the same thing he did for a long time.
Why have you never told me in the first place?
To which she replied, I have, for I was your shadow until you left Roquad Village.
She embraced him tighter as she started crying softly. This was when Katsumi realized why she said this. She was a captive, just like Katsumi was, under the name Galarok Minoshtai. But this was not her true identity. Instead, she would be going by the name of Aosoki Misagi, which she found to be her true legal matrix, Nim.
Misagi.
Katsumi was starting to understand why she did what she did.
Misagi, why have you never told me you wanted to be like me for so long?
To which she looked up at him, saying, I was afraid you might see me as one of them, a corrupt elder who wanted nothing but control of the village. That was why I defected, just like you did, at the age of 16.
Katsumi sighed, telling her,
You could have simply told me your desire to do this, and I would have been happy to take you along with me.
He sighed and thought about this for a moment, but realized she was just doing what Katsumi did, just in a different manner than what he was cognizant of. He looked into Misagi's eyes again and told her,
Now that I think about it, I understand why you never regaled to me about this.
After he placed the letter in his satchel, he departed from the mailing office. To his surprise, Misagi still clung onto him like there was no tomorrow.
He turned around, stroked her hair, and told her, "I will always be here for you, should you need anything."
Misagi nodded and went on her merry way. As she did, Katsumi wondered if she was a kunoichi that was doing all of this, minus the letter, to gauge how he reacted to the Toramax. Katsumi thought,
"Maybe there is a reason why I was spied on, not for the original reason I had thought, but as someone who was trusted enough to stick to his word for years."
He would turn around and walk back to his homestead. After arriving back at the homestead, he observed Misagi again, hiding in the bushes this time. He walked over to her and lent her his hand. She got out, and there she was, in your traditional garb for kunoichi.